Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, Blog Talk Radio Nation, you are tuned in to the Cutting Room Floor on this Monday, and as I kind of promised to most of my friends, this is a very interesting Monday because it is the day after the Super Bowl. Some of you probably either hungover or still full from buffalo wings and whatever to like. And I told you, I am not at all going to even, this is your safe haven, and I'm at as always, I'm joined by the lovely Lola before I even go on. Lola, how are you doing?
Not too bad.
I said, you know, there's rarity in things in which I do and I don't do. And I think I've automatically made the thing this week. It's not even 24 hours past the game, but all day today, I've either seen things on TV about the halftime show, the commercial, especially the one with the little kid, or the national anthem. And then I've heard people all arguments and everything. Yes, mistakes were made. Yes, this was done. I'm not going to really go into it. And for the first time, I'm actually going to ban this story for the entire week. We're not even going to talk about it on Eye on Hollywood on Friday because I'm just tired of it at this point. Because the thing is that it's nothing but opinion. Yes, and this is the only thing I will say on it. Yes, she flubbed it. Yes, she messed up, and if you're a professional, I would expect that you would practice it. Yes, she apologized. I accept it. I don't think that it is for her. I don't think that it is an affront to our troops. She went out and she sang it. She got caught up in the moment, like she said. A lot of people, it happens to it. But I disagree on the fact of people using the words, quote-unquote, she sold it up, or sold it, quote-unquote, soul. And it was like, there's a right way to do it. You got to remember your history, people. If, you know, there is no right way to do it because it's a poem. It's like me singing something from the works of, some famous poet. There's no lyrics to it. It wasn't even a national anthem until 1931. And it sat there for over 100-some years as a poem, and that's what it is. It has no lyrics. There's no right way to do it. There's no wrong way to do it. The only people that complain that there is a right way to do it are people that are tone deaf and can't sing along with the lyrics. And it's not for you to sing along to. You're standing there and you're listening to it. It's a performance, and that's what it is. It's a national anthem. It's sacred, yes, but at the same time, she is a performance. It was Christina Aguilera. What did you expect? I'll leave it at that. But going on, we've got far more important things to do. I mean, it's something, Lola, when you think about it, you read all this stuff today about it. I was like, it's Christina Aguilera. How did you expect her to sing this going into this? You expected her to sing it the way Christina Aguilera sings. I don't know why everybody's so shocked. And then everybody's saying, you know, she sung it the wrong way. What wrong way? If you're going to say it that way, and you're going to say that even people who sing it, or these opera singers that sing it, are singing it the wrong way, too, because I can't sing along with an opera singer, or I can't sing along with a little 7-year-old kid who sings it a tad off-key. So, I mean, that's saying, if she sang it the wrong way, then I can point out probably hundreds of other people who sang it the wrong way. And I was like, for those who say she sang it the wrong way, what's the right way? If it's a poem and it has no lyrics, what's the right way? That's like saying, it's to the point of saying that, you know, if you're running a marathon, you ran the wrong way. Well, how did I run the wrong way? Well, you should have stepped like 2 quick stutter steps, then ran the run. I mean, is there a wrong way or is there a right way? I really don't know. And I was like, if there is a right way, I'd love for somebody to
actually sing it the right way, or get in front of a mic and sing it in front of a crowd of 100,000. I give credit to where credit is due. You get out there and you sing it. But I also say that, yes, she is a professional, so she should have learned those lyrics or gone through them for the last couple of weeks, because it's not something new. She knew a month in advance she was singing it. So I'm kind of on the fence about it. I'm just real mad at people who said she put too much soul into it. How are you getting too much soul into it? That's the case, then. I don't want to see any country singer singing any R&B songs. I don't want to see any R&B singer singing any country songs, because it's going to get jacked up. So I'll leave it alone at that, because they're doing it the wrong way, I guarantee you. So for people to say the wrong way, it struck a nerve with me today, and I will not go into the whole thing this week about that. When you can read it, you can watch your Inside Editions, watch your TMZs, you can watch whatever else, but for the first time, I'm actually banning anything that has to do with the Super Bowl from this network for the rest of the week. I don't even want to hear about it. That's how bad it is. Cause like it's amazing. But going on to important things.
You know, LeVar, you know what I think it is? I think it's a slow news day, and they're just concentrating on something.
You are kidding. I was like, so we actually talked about this 24 hours after? I could not believe how many stories I've seen out there today on this. And I was like, really? You know, there's a lot more important things going on in this world than to care about how someone actually sang a song. Like I said, it wouldn't bother me so much if I didn't see it everywhere and if I didn't have to hear about it everywhere. And I was like, I'm already getting tired of it. And the game was less than 24 hours ago, actually right this time, 24 hours ago. And I was like, it's amazing the things that people come up with nowadays to have a complaint about or to rally against. And I was like, you know, hopefully it's died down after she's now come out with an apology and has come out with her side of the story. I hope, you know. But, you know, I'd like to say that there's a right way. To say there's a right way or a wrong way and that she, quote, sold it up. I mean, that's a front to the person that's singing it, because they're singing it from the goodness of their heart. To say that is also knocking what Marvin Gaye did with his rendition back in Detroit for the All-Star Game in 84. So, I mean, that was a far different way, and Francis Scott Key didn't write it for that way. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a hypocritical thing. And I could say I wouldn't get on the mic. I'd probably butcher it up, too, if I had a mic and you asked me to sing it. I mean,
well, do you remember Roseanne Barr and Tom Arnold? Didn't they do it at a baseball game about over a decade ago?
And Roseanne did. I was actually, I think, in San Diego, and I remember watching it because it was on ESPN, and when she sang it at the end, she spit to the ground, and it was so many people at that time that I think didn't even know what to think.
Oh.
And she came
out.
I will never forget that. I think she came out and said that she was doing what ball players do, or spitting on the ground. I was like, that was far more offensive than anything else. Man. Like, you know, you forget a word and go over it. I was like, yeah, like I said, I'm on the halfway fence. I agree with people. Yes, it was one of those things where you're like, you thought about it, you saw it. And I was like, she's a performer. She should have known it. But you know what, Lola, the thing is that even after that, I think even if she had done it correctly, you were still going to get complaints about it because of the way that she sang it. And like I said, for people that don't, you know how to sing, or for people that don't like to stand there for an extra minute while someone's doing their rendition of it, they just, you know, they don't understand it. Just like, you know, Black Eyed Peas. If you're a Black Eyed Peas fan, you love the performance at halftime. But if you're not a fan of pop music, if you're not a fan of pop music, you hate it. You're like, oh, I hate it. I was like, okay. And I actually saw someone that wrote on their Facebook page that they'd rather it had been like The Who or U2 or somebody else. And I was like, well, I got word for you. When The Who did it last year, they stunk up the joint. So I don't know if
that's
there's
right.
a perfect halftime performance.
That's true.
I was like, I
don't think there's anybody that's going to ever be pleased with who they pick. I mean, for the last few years, they were playing it safe after the whole Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake debacle, and they kind of picked what I would call the senior rockers. Sorry, fellas, but that's what you are.
It is.
This year they tried to make a little hip, and now, you know, people are griping about that. So, I think people are just never going to be happy.
No, they're not. I sat through my brain thinking, well, who could you put out there that would be perfect? And I was like, well, at that point, we might as well go back to 1970 Super Bowls and do some corny up with people, or bring out like Doc Severinsen and like some orchestra at halftime, and we could just have that and just forget the whole halftime show. Because no one's going to be happy.
No.
No? Why don't we just have some, like, instrumental music and everybody dance and stand? I mean, I think that's pretty much the only way you're going to make people happy.
That's true.
But getting along to what our topic was going to be for today, and actually I'd love to say, you know, if you joined us for our first show last week, you know, this is a show in which we kind of just, like, throw the scripts out. We really don't do anything that we would normally do that's scripted as maybe our Eye on Hollywood show, which is heard on Fridays. But it's more or less, you know, what you would probably hear on the radio. I mean, and it's a great way for you to get to know us or, you know, our thoughts and different things that's going on out there. Some days we might have an entertainment story that we're talking about. I didn't intend to talk about this whole thing for 10 minutes, but it was just something that I've seen so much of. I'm now tired of seeing it. And I know some people are like, well, are you going to talk about it this week? No, I'm not. After that point, I'm not going to even discuss it, not even going to mention it. And, you know, like I said, I'm the most patriotic person out there, love this country. And, you know, people are like, well, it's our song. How is it our song? It's nobody's song. Yes, it's our song as a collective unit. But don't talk for me. But, yeah.
Sure.
But a couple of things I also want to put out there. If you are in the, speaking of music and DVD, just to kind of, like we said, that's why it's called the cutting room floor. But coming out tomorrow on New Music Tuesday and New DVD Tuesday, on DVD and Blu-ray, the film For Colored Girls will be out tomorrow. The Zach Galifianakis film is kind of a funny story. The Katherine Heigl, Josh Duhamel comedy Life as We Know It. The Sigourney Weaver, Jamie Lee Curtis film You Again. And also a couple of things, Project Runway, the eighth season. And I was shocked to see two things that are coming out tomorrow on DVD Blu-ray. I thought it was already out, but I guess, I don't know. But I saw that released tomorrow will be Barbed Wire with Pamela Anderson on Blu-ray and Space Jam. I was like, holy
wow.
God, that's, yeah, that's going to be out. And then in the music front, not much. Two things that kind of stuck out for me. Motorhead is coming out with a new album tomorrow for all you guys that like Motorhead. And the big release tomorrow is actually going to be Now Volume 37, which, looking up and down at the list, I have an odd feeling that out of all the Nows that have been out there, this one could be the most popular one, because it's going to have Willow Smith's song on there, With My Hair, Katy Perry's, a couple of Rihanna songs, and all the popular stuff that's playing right now is going to be on Now Volume 37, so you can check it out. Of course, you can always go to Amazon or something like that to check out the complete total list or Now's website. But I saw it up and down, and I was like, you can't really complain about the album. I was like, in years past, you probably had a couple of things on there where you'd be like, yeah, I can get that off iTunes. This actually looks to be, if you're a fan of popular music, quote, it's everything that's currently playing on the station is pretty much going to be on this Now Volume 37. So you can definitely check that out. And I guess I want to get to our other topic now that we've got like half the show gone. I guess I want to get to our other topic today. And it was something that Lola and I were actually talking about last week. And it kind of, I guess, strikes a chord. And for, you know, I will admit it, this Friday I will be turning 33 years old. Now.
Uh-oh.
Now. I'm always asked once and again, and my brothers and sisters, they're married, you know, and you know, I have a twin brother and an older brother. They're married, and my sister, she's married. And, you know, every time I go somewhere, you know, they have a family event, everybody's like, oh, you know, when are you getting married? When are you next? And then it's like, you know, they give you that look like you should be married by now. And I guess, you know, and Lola and I were talking, and I guess, you know, I'd love to know what our listeners probably think, but I guess the question is, when is the right age to get married? I saw from somewhere else, and I thought it was a study, and I wish I could grab it back or think of it, that the mean or average age that some people thought that they should be married at or by their, you know, by a certain age was 26. And I know times have changed. You know, back then, people get married at 19, 20, you know. Now it's 26. But I guess, Lola, my question here is, should there even be a mean or median age to get married? And if so, I mean, really, by society standards, what age do you think people should be married by? Or is there too much of a rush put into people getting married and at that point them trying to find somebody, rushing and then finding the wrong person, and then it doesn't work out down the line?
Well, you know, I know what you're talking about. I have two older sisters and I have a younger half-sister, and all three are married. My one sister, she's been married numerous times. I think she's in her third marriage still. And we're not talking, so I'm assuming she's still married. But, God, you know, kind of always hits a nerve with me, because I think people would rather see, I think Oprah once said it best, and she said people would rather see her married than her happy. You know, people want to see a wedding. And I sometimes think that's what people really want. They want to see somebody married rather than happy. For some reason, we got this crazy notion that if you're single, there's something wrong with you. You're undesirable. There's something wrong, especially once you get to a certain age. It seems like as you get older and the more you're still single, people start thinking, well, what's wrong? You must have some kind of flaw. And it's kind of always baffles me, because I think people would rather see me, and I'm single, but I always feel like people would rather see me miserable and in a crappy situation than to be single and happy. You know, and that always bothers me.
You know, I'm kind of curious, too, as to that, Lola. You know, for people out there who are going through that situation, it's like, you know, first of all, you know, when you get questions like that or when you get looks like that and people trying to set you up and then, you know, they're all expecting you to be married by a certain point, does it kind of, I guess, rattle the boat in some ways as to when you do find somebody, you know, are you really finding them just to hurry up and get married? Are you finding the person that you really want, I guess, second on that? And then I guess third, you know, if you do go through those motions and you're just finding somebody just to get married to so that everybody will shut up, you know, does it really work? And I'm thinking in my brain, that must not be a workable strategy. I mean,
no, definitely
do you know
not.
Of anybody in which that's worked or had that pressure, you know, put on them by family?
Well, you know what? I have known people that got married because, well, you know, everybody was on them about settling down. And I can honestly say these people weren't happy. But by the time they had gotten married and they realized, whoa, you know, I jumped into something, maybe I didn't take enough time to figure out this person or realize we have nothing in common, by this time they've already became parents. And it's not so easy to walk away, and there's a lot of variables. And so I've always seen people that are very unhappy. You know, both partners are married, but they kind of lead their own separate lives. And I always thought, I never wanted to be like that. I never wanted to get married to appease everybody. I know people would love to see that happen. But, my God, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it's a continuing, I see it with some friends from time to time, you know, they talk about their, you know, relationship and they're like, you know, I don't know why people would think that I should be married by now, or, you know, and I think, in a way, once you get a certain age bracket, and I'll tell you right now, you know, as you get around 30 and a little bit older, people don't understand that it gets tougher. It gets a little bit tougher in that dating world because, one, you know, unless you're going to be dating a certain age bracket, and now I'm kind of remembering another conversation we had that might go into this too, but not even sure we have enough time for it. But, you know, once you kind of get in a certain age bracket, you're not looking to start with somebody who's starting anew. You want somebody that's starting out in the same plane that you are. And it gets a little harder, I think, to find that person that's starting out in the same plane as you are. And so for some people, you know, they don't want to date anybody that has kids, or for some that they, you know, they do and they don't mind it. For others, you know, they are trying to find somebody in their age bracket but can't because most of those people are already taken. And then they're kind of stuck dating a younger person or an older person. And that's why I was like, with 10 minutes left to go, as much as I'm going to hate to mention this, but I think, you know, you and I talked last week about Halle Berry. The issue she's going through with her boyfriend, he's younger than her. And she, at that time, she was looking to start a family, have a baby, and she had it with him. And then all of a sudden, you know, they break up. And then, you know, it's for Hallie, and I'm not sure how old the new guy in her life that she's dating, but, you know, for Hallie, Hallie's not going to date. She's not going to date a guy her age. It's just not going to happen, you know. And she's probably going to be stuck in that whole thing of dating a younger model-looking guy. But for her, as she gets a little older, it's going to get a little tough because who on her stature in Hollywood is around her age that she can date, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes
definitely.
To Hugh Hefner, that's just, yeah. As you say, when it comes to Hugh Hefner, that's just entirely different because there's plenty of 70, 80-year-old women in Hollywood that he can probably date. But,
I could
get back to that whole thing, you know, like when you get older, what's the right bracket for you and how do you find that person? And I just don't know. It's an interesting, you know, quandary, and it's like it's enough to make you just say, forget it. I'll just be swinger is a bad word. I don't want to use that. But I guess,
yeah.
I guess the term would be, you know, like, you know how Larry on Three's Company was? No, at the end, even Jack found somebody. Larry
he was like
still
the Charlie Sheen back then on
single.
Three's Company.
Yeah, I'm using the Larry defense here. You know, Larry never found anybody, but yet Larry was happy, you know?
Oh, yeah, he was dating all kinds of beautiful women and having fun and drinking and,
like,
you know.
It's like George Clooney, you know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, see, a lot, you know what? See how people give him a lot of flack? Everybody's always trying to marry George Clooney. And he says countless times, I am not getting married.
Now, Elizabetha, if you do change your mind, you want to find someone that wants to get married, you can call here. I wouldn't do that to George. I like George. I'm like, the short list of guys in Hollywood I do like. I like George, so I would do that to him. So,
and you know what? At the same token about George Clooney, like he doesn't want to get married, but you always hear people saying, "When are you going to get married?" You know, they always ask him, "Are you close to getting married?" And then, if you remember, people then started saying he was gay. People started kind of questioning him, and they were like, well, you know, he's not married, and he doesn't look like he's ready to settle down, so maybe that's a cover, maybe he's gay. And, you know, I mean, people do think that, and it always kind of always hits a chord in me, because I don't understand why people are so quick to marry people off.
Yeah, then you have to pull the other card. Oh, you know, he's gay. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that he just doesn't want to go through the whole thing of being married or finding someone, or just like single people. You know, I will, you know, readily admit, you know, in the same way that, you know, I kind of feel his pain because, you know, I am talking with someone and I have someone in my life that I care about, you know, and, you know, I'm pretty sure people are like, well, but you have someone? No, it's not really any of your business. I mean, I really won't bring that out until this time. But, you know, there is someone in my life that I care deeply about. And, you know, I'm hoping that things will work out. And, you know, I'm trying my darndest, and I hope it does. You know, and it's just that, you know, if you're not married, if you don't have a ring on it, as they say, being hip now with the kids, if you don't have a ring on it, it's like, you know, people just think the worst of you. It's like, you know, it's bad being single. No, it is not. It is a good thing, you know, because that means that you're being smart and you're not selling for the first thing that comes along. Most people
That's
get
true.
Lucky and others are still looking. You know, they're looking for that perfect fit. I mean, if I want someone that's a particular way, I'm not going to go out and look for the first person that's not that particular way because I guarantee you it ain't going to work. So, you know, that's just how it is. And so, you know, it's, I tell you, it's always something in which, you know, it's interesting. And I don't know, I'd love to know what our Blog Talk Radio Nation kind of thinks about that. You can leave a comment on our page, Blog Talk, using comment, Blog Talk Radio over on Lola. And, you know, maybe tell us about your opinions or your dealings with it. You know, are you single? Do you still get that stuff from your family about that? And just tell us what you think, and maybe we'll share it on a future edition of this show.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's an interesting thing that I'm pretty sure we'll always be talking about. You'll have studies about, and you know, and it will continuously happen. And, you know, you always see it in the movies, too, where people are like, you know, if they're not married by a certain age, you know, they all had that one thing that, you know, like, if we're not married, but, that's another thing. I think it was a Friends episode of that once where they're like, well, if we're not married by 33, I'm going to marry you. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. You're right about that. They did. I think they did have that where, wasn't it Joey was supposed to marry Rachel or something like that?
Something like that. And Phoebe was supposed to marry either Chandler or
that's what it was.
Ross.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember I had that promise from a few people back in the day, and I think they have all since married. So, you know, let's throw that out the door. I'm still the last one. Yeah, it's like I tell people, I was like, you know, I'll probably be the last one out of the group, probably. It doesn't matter. But, you know, what matters is that you try and find the person that I guess in overall on this question, it matters that you find a person that fits best for you. And as for what to say to those family members, you know, the thing that I usually say is when it happens, you'll be the first one to know. So, man. And then when you do tell them, they'll be like, oh, that's nice. You know, it's just how it works. So, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We've got about a couple of minutes left here before the end of the show. Anything else on the cutting room floor you want to throw out there, Lola?
No, I'm just kind of going through the internet and just kind of looking around. I was seeing what stories we are going to be covering for this possible Friday show. There's an interesting story. I find this one. Has anybody heard about Slash and his wife? And they had a problem because he was going online talking to a heavyset BBW.
Yes, Samantha
girl. And they released the pictures of her. And I guess people are like, oh my God, he was talking to her.
Samantha Slopes is a very pretty girl. I don't know why.
I guess people are shocked because she's not like, you know, a Playboy playmate. You know, she's not like Kendra Wilkinson or Holly Madison, but she's a big girl. And I guess people, I mean, I guess I'm looking at it and people are like, jaws are dropping.
I have to see if we can get Samantha to come on our show and talk about that. I don't know.
That might be interesting.
I'd love to get her feedback on that one.
Yes.
So, Samantha, if you're listening, does anybody know Samantha? Come on the show.
We want exclusive.
Yeah, no, it was exclusive. You know, I saw that. I was like, you know, I don't know why everybody, you know, people, you know, that's another thing. That's another show for another
See,
day,
you know, we
but,
have,
you know,
it says, we have to talk about size. That's another big topic.
Yeah. We got so many topics. Maybe we'll leave that adjourned until next week. I'm pretty sure that will be one of the topics, unless something big kind of breaks. Also, you know, and we got less than a minute, but Tila Tequila, her new sex tape. You know, Tila, when she's cleaned up like this, is a very hot girl. And I actually have to say, I'm getting some feelings back for Tila Tequila. I don't know why, but. I'm loving what I'm saying, but you know, as long as she's clean, it doesn't
depending
look like
on
she's
where that feeling's at.
Yeah, as long as she's not like, you know, freezing on a drug bender, she's fine. And like
I don't
now
think
she is again. And it's like she's been looking good. So I don't know, Tila, if you got my number, call. But we'll wrap it up this week for the cutting room floor. We'll join you here on Friday for Eye on Hollywood. And so for Lola, I'm LeVar. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you then.